If you will, in your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And actually, let's go back to the latter part of chapter 3 for just a moment, because I'm going to just park on one verse here shortly. Go to the latter part of Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin Ephesians chapter 3. Just, we'll read through some things, make some comments until we get to the text at which we want to stop. Ephesians 3 and verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. By the way, there is no identity. You don't know any reason for anything. You don't know what anything is unless you know what God says about it, unless you know why God created it, why God put it in place. As I mentioned this morning, every star of the trillions of stars out there has an identity and has a divine purpose. You don't know who you are. You have no idea what in the world you're here for. You don't know what your identity is. You really don't know until you know God, until you know His place in your life. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. They get their purpose. They get their identity. They get their design. They get everything from God. Apart from God, they don't exist. And apart from God, they have no reason to exist. Do you get the impact of that thing? The only people in this world that know why they are here are people that know God. You think of people that are trying to guess what they're in this world for, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Because when we come to the verse, you and I are members of the body of Christ, and we don't have a clue what's going on unless we know what God wants done and what God has in mind in doing what He did. Don't have a clue. Verse 16, that He would grant you according to the wealth, the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might, strengthened with power by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell and you may take up residence, just kind of own every facet of your life, that Christ may take up residence in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Love is what? I gave you the M word for that. Love does two things. It gives and it serves. Love always, the outworking of love is always ministry. Always. In every capacity. Love in a marriage ministers. If you don't have ministry in your marriage, you don't have love. You got something else. Love ministers. It gives and it serves with no expectation of return or personal benefit. Love gives. It's selflessness at its root. So here He is telling us that we may be rooted and grounded in love. We may be able to comprehend, grasp with our minds, with all the saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes or surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now, you notice what God wants to happen. What is the end result? What does God have in mind for us? Does He have an empty life? Does He have a tragic life in mind for us? What does God have in mind for your life? A frustrated life? A life without meaning, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what does it mean for God to fill up your life? Okay? How does God fill up the life of the average person? What does it mean for a housewife to wash the dishes? Unless that has divine meaning and purpose, it's empty. He fills up every function, every dynamic of life. He fills with divine purpose and reason. Why do you drive your car? It should be so you get where God wants you to go. Why do you have a house? So that you have a place in which the will of God can be accomplished for your family and others as you minister. God takes every event and every dynamic of life, and He fills it with divine purpose and meaning. Everything minus nothing. The work that you do this week, you're going off to work. And apart from the fact that God wants you to accomplish something in that, what meaning can your work have? It can have no meaning at all, except that which you hopefully attach to it. And that's wishful thinking at best. Yes or no? that you might be filled up with all the fullness of God. Everything in your life is filled with divine purpose and divine help and divine strength and divine provision and divine wisdom and divine blessing. What kind of life does God want us to live? And most people think, well, this spiritual life is for everybody. It's not just for the pastor. Everybody is full time with God. Every believer is full time with God. Get that. Get that. Everything in life is full time with God. It has divine meaning, plan, purpose, design, all of this. That you might be filled up with all the fullness of God. So when we talk, we get to the church functioning. We're all parts of the body, fitly framed, put together, and functioning. It's not just a group of people getting together just to do something. There's divine purpose in this thing. God wants to fill lives full through this, the ministry of this body, the church. This is His goal. This is His desire. This is what is in His heart for us. And it's wonderful to me. I'm frustrated as a pastor. I spend an hour and a half preaching on Sunday. 30 or 40 minutes on Wednesday night. And all this other stuff I have to do just to keep everything going. All the administrative stuff. You would say it's junk. Why do I have to do all of this just to earn the right to get up and preach on Sunday? But everything I do has divine purpose and meaning. None of it's junk. None of it is junk. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he talks about these adjectives. God's ability to do excessively, abundantly. How do you take an abundance and make it excessive? It's already excessive. So you take abundance, which is excessive, and you make an excessive abundance, and then you have to go above that. When you get this excessive abundance, you go above that, and then it's above and beyond everything that you in your mind you can get a hold of. You can't wrap your head around this stuff. And that's in the heart of God. Above all we ask or think, according to the power. What power? Oh, he describes the power. In chapter 1, the power that works in us. And you have another set of adjectives like this. Unto him be glory in the church. So, he's the prisoner of the Lord, chapter 4. We'll walk through this. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. Because this is the desire of God. Every part of your life gains divine significance, becomes important. It's not the importance to which you and I attach meaning. It's the importance to which God attaches meaning. He's the one that attaches the meaning to our lives. So he talks about how we do this. How do we apply this? How does this work out? Verse 2, it works out with lowliness, meekness, forbearance, long-suffering. Then he talks about a unity that exists within the body already and how our business is to guard that unity. You don't create it. It's there already. By the way, if I see your leg walking out the door without the rest of your body, I will know that something is not right. There's already a unity in your body. And you have to the thing you call it, when you get it all working together right, you call it coordination. And if the coordination isn't right, your body is not unified in what's being done. It's a lack of coordination. So he talks about the unity that's in the body and the fact that Jesus Christ, in verse 10 again, you have this same concept. He that descended the same also ascended far above all the heavens that he might do what? Help me. That he might do what? That he might fill. God is not in the emptying business. I've heard so many people, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. Listen, the fullest life you can live is in the will of God, and it will be filled up full. Far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And how is he going to bring fullness to the church? Through the ministry in the past of apostles, prophets, now evangelists and pastors and teachers who are to perfect or equip, fully equip and outfit the saints for the work of their ministry. That's the love part, the work of their ministry for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, with the result, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect or mature man, the measure and stature of the, notice the word fullness again, fullness of Christ, stability in verse 14, not tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, truth speaking in verse 15, and growth, growing up into whole him, up into him in all things, and then verse 16. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, this is the church, fitly joined together, compacted that by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a complicated sentence structure with words. You'll notice that Christ is the head in verse 15. Christ is the head. What does the head do to your body? What happens when your head's cut off? Nothing works. All right? Nothing works. Nothing works in the church if Christ does not have the preeminence in the church. Christ is the head of the body. All of us are parts of this body. We don't have to figure out if we're the kidney or the spleen. We're all parts of the body. You can think of the hands, you can think of the feet, you can think of the arms, you can think of the legs, you can think of the mouth, you can think of the eyes and the ears, all parts of the same body functioning. We are the church. The church is not an organization, it is an organism, if you please. And so all of this, he talks about fitly joined together, which means connected together to form a coherent entity. Everything is joined. There used to be what they called a Negro spiritual. Have you heard it? The head bone connected to the neck bone, connected to the back bone, connected to the hip bone, connected to the leg bone, connected to the knee bone, connected to the foot bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. They used to sing that. How many of you heard that one? You've heard that one? But it's all connected. It's all joined together. It's all connected. I'll tell you a little secret right now. I might as well tell you. You know, you do have a hippie pastor. You know, I've been jogging running for 40 years, and my right hip has 25,000 miles on it now. So in June, they're going to cut it out and replace it. That's to take place. You see me kind of limping around here. That's one of the reasons why. That thing, as the old fellow said, the thing ain't working so well anymore. So anyway, but they have to be joined together and working and functioning. This hip, it doesn't want to move right. And when I move it in a certain way, it does strange things. Now, the body of Christ, we are to be so related. Being joined means we're in personal relationship to one another. Now, may I ask you this question? Who chooses who gets into the body of Christ? All right, who does the inviting into the body of Christ? Who invited you to be saved? Which person of the Trinity invited you to be saved? Holy Spirit did, yes? Holy Spirit gave the invitation, yes? And convicted you of your need of Christ. And you were born into this body. We were all born into this body. And how many of you got to choose? How many of you are with a family with more than one sibling, or with one, at least one or more siblings? How many of you got to choose who your siblings were? I didn't. I have three brothers and I have one sister. I didn't get to choose any of them. I couldn't say, I don't like you, I'm going to choose you. I don't like him. I'd rather that she were my sister and you're just going to be somebody else. No, you don't do that. Because it's just a process that's outside of your jurisdiction. You don't make those choices. You just don't. So we are fitly joined together. We are united together in a relationship so that something can happen. Notice the word compacted, which means to cause to coalesce, to knit together so that it works together. Vital parts that are working. I had a gallbladder that wasn't working right. They took it out. Well, if you're the gallbladder, we can't take you out. We can't remove you. Everybody in the body of Christ is there permanently until they go to be with the Lord. And we are so to relate to one another that the full, that God can fill this thing up with His purposes that you have there. So there is a relationship with every part of the body, every joint, every part of the body is critical to an effective working. The working word working here is energizing, which means that you are literally working. How many of you like to work? Work is hard. I see people that are really, really getting with it, and I go over to them. I'm good at insulting people. I just love to do it. And I say, man, that's almost like work. And they're sweating. Well, we know what work is. And he's talking about the fact that the body of Christ is designed to be energized by the Spirit of God to accomplish work. It's not just to meet on Sunday. That we are to be working as the body of Christ everywhere we go and everything that we do. And every function of life. The purposes of God are to fill our lives as individuals and collectively as a body. That's what he had in mind. Because God has work that he wants to get done. Now, you got this. When Jesus was here, how many places could he be at one time when he was here in the flesh? One time. One place at one time. So he figured it out. He said, I'm going to leave, but I can be present potentially all over the world in all of these believers. So he can have witnesses around the world. Because we have been brought into his family by new birth by the Spirit of God. We're parts of the body of Christ. And we are engaged in the works that Jesus would do if he were here. We are in his place, ministering with different gifts and abilities. Because this hand is not the same as this hand. The hand is not the same as the leg. The tongue is not the same as the lips. Everything has its function, so we don't have all of the gifts, but we have a gift. And when you put all of the gifts of this people together, this body of believers together, you've got something impressive. Do you not? Do you not? Do you not? But you don't have anything impressive until you get them all together and you get them all working. You get them all together and you get them all working. Not doing jobs assigned by the church, but doing ministry at home, in the church, in the workplace, in the school, in the neighborhood, doing ministry assigned by the Holy Spirit of God as He leads us day by day. That's the design of this thing. So the end result then is a body that is being built up. There is growth and development. And it is in this verse according to the edifying of itself in what? What's the last word in the verse? The edifying of itself in what? Love. And love, give me the M word for love. What does love do? What's the manifestation of love? It is ministry. It is ministry. So that is the end result of this thing. Now, how does he want this work done in love? Selflessly, we minister. And as I said in the message this morning, you give your life away. You do it, Jesus. You sacrifice what you want for the needs of others. And then you find out that in place of what you want, God gives you something richer and fuller, more joyful and more blessed. Yeah? That's what you get in return. Now, tell me it's not so. Stand up, please, if you will. Are you ready? I want to put a 5-minute cap on this thing. All right. This does not work unless you and I, with all our hearts, know that God is our creator and our designer. Unless we are convinced in our heart and mind that we are not an accident, a biological accident between a man and a woman called our mother and our father, that our life was planned in the councils of eternity And before there were any stars and there was any globe, any world, in the mind and heart of God, we existed. We are rooted, our lives are rooted in the heart and mind of God before the foundation of the world. You get that home in your heart, and that means your life has enormous significance and meaning and value. Am I coming through? You're strangely silent. Everybody, it does not matter personality. It doesn't matter any kind of makeup. Nothing matters except that God decided before there was a planet Earth, before there was a moon, before there was stars, before there were planets, before there was a universe, before any of this existed. God is our creator. And then because of the ruin of sin, through a personal new birth by faith in Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, we have been supernaturally birthed and given life in Jesus Christ for a purpose, that God might take a life that was ruined and empty and fill it up with what He had in mind before sin ruined it. Huh? And that His plan for us in this day and age is related to other believers who, like us, have been birthed into the family of God, and we are related spiritually in the body of Jesus Christ. Literally, as His body, we are related in a local church. And there is a living relationship, a spiritual relationship between each one of us who are birthed into the family of God, just as much as our fleshly family, our own flesh and blood, our siblings, our brothers and sisters. We share a common life in Christ that is central to all of this. And then we determine in our hearts that our lives are going to be devoted to ministry. And we empty ourselves out. And the more we empty ourselves out of ourselves, the more God fills us up with His fullness. Are you getting this? This is how it's supposed to work. We determine we're going to be obedient to the pleasures, plans, and purposes of Christ. May I say this? Get this. We begin with believer's baptism. That's the first. And then we move on to spiritual growth and development, which enables us to function responsibly as a very specific, special part, member of the body of Jesus Christ. Not with your name on a church roll, but with your life connected to other believers in the power of the Holy Spirit, operating together in unity and in harmony and in selflessness, in love, in ministry. That's what God has in mind for a local church. That's why we are here today. That's God's plan for this day and age. And the fullness of God in life is related to the local church. It's related to our personal walk with God, to our families, every part of our lives. So what is it that you do that you don't like? How much of your life are you going to do this week that you don't like? I don't like my job. Well, look, if that's what God wants, you need to like it. And you need to find a divine enabling in every dynamic of your life that will display the glory of God. Thank you, two of you. We really do. We need to let God fill up everything we do. The things we like, the things we don't like, everything that we do. If God wants it done, it needs to be filled up with His fullness, with His purpose. Because everything we do should have divine purpose. Every part of our life should have meaning and purpose, so that God can fill it up with His blessing. I hope this is helpful to you. Our lives mean something to God. Before there was a world, before there was a universe, before the stars ever shone, we were in the heart and mind of God. That's something. Yes or no? That's something. That's something. That's something. And you got the right brothers and sisters, by the way, too. I know what you're thinking. I was there. It'll take you 20 years to get it figured out. And when you get it figured out, it's wonderful. And same way with the church. They're members of the body of Christ that irritate us. I got three honest people. I've got three honest people. But they're precious, all of them, to the heart of God. And what really helped me as a pastor years ago, I figured out if God loves them, it's my business to love them. Ooh. Yeah? Father in heaven, thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of believers. God, just help us. It's so hard to get this stuff figured out, to wrap our minds around it. It's so wonderful. And God, I just pray that as we minister in this church, as we go to work, as we go to our homes, I pray that every part of our life might be ministry. Ministry filled up with the fullness of God. When we drive, when we're driving down the road, it needs to be with divine purpose. We need to be going where you want us to go, doing what you want us to do. Even buying groceries at the store. Everything we do in life needs to be filled with divine purpose and done for the glory of God. So bless and encourage us and strengthen us and fill us with the Spirit of God. Give us a harvest of souls in this place. Send the laborers that are needed for this harvest field. And great God, I pray that as we, if Jesus tarries, we meet again next Lord's Day, that we shall look back on this week and say, it's been hard, but it's been blessed. Manifest your presence in our lives, I pray. In every life, may the hand of God be seen day after day, day in and day out, in the difficult situations. God, I pray that you will just manifest your presence, glorify your name, and fill us, oh God, with all of your fullness, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.